Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you today and to be sharing with you today on the topic of prayer. I think that song and the children's talk has hopefully prepared you for what is to come. And I just want to say before I start this morning, a very special thanks to all those who helped to enable our live streaming to happen. We couldn't do without a huge number of people that take turns, that work on things and upload and are there. So thanks to all those who do that. We are extremely grateful. Now, the elders of our church, Ian Graham, Phil Adams, Sue DePyle and myself, have set aside the month of June for us to pray for the ministry and the outreach into our community of this church. And we're doing that privately. As you eat breakfast every day, take time to pray for RCC and our future direction. And we're also doing that corporately via Zoom on Monday and Thursday nights in June. And there's something special about praying together. And it was great to pray with so many on Thursday night, and I look forward to praying with you on Monday night. It's been so encouraging too to hear from a number of you and how you support the elders' call to prayer. And now I've got a little task for the children watching this morning. Lots to think about in that children's talk that we had. So many different aspects as to what we can have in our prayers. And kids, I'd like you to grab a piece of paper and I wonder if you can spell the word pray. P-R-A-Y. Do you remember the colours of the letters that we used and the symbols? And what I'd like you to do this morning while you're just there is to actually write the word pray out, draw the symbols, and you might like to write a prayer to God. And if you'd like us to see that, then get Mum or Dad to take a photo, put it up on our RCC Facebook page, and I'll look forward to checking that later on today, and I'll send you a little note once I've seen it. And I'm going to leave this slide up for just a little while so that you get a chance to grab your bit of paper and your crayons or texters out so that you can write it down. How good it is this morning that we can pause and think about why we pray. I'm going to look at the life of Jesus as recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them give us snippets into Jesus' life, and all of them record details on Jesus and prayer. And we will need to look at all four of them to get a rounded view of Jesus and prayer. There are about 30 references to Jesus praying, and I can't look at every one of those this morning. But maybe during June, when you are praying, you might like to have a look at some of those references. And I'm sure your heart will be encouraged, as mine has been, in preparing of this message. On the PowerPoints today, I'm going to put up many Bible references. And if you want to look at them as you're reading it through, then it's a good resource to go to. The PowerPoint is obtainable on the RCC webpage. You can log in and you can either listen to the message or see the PowerPoints and download them, or you can watch again on YouTube once this message has been uploaded. Well, are you ready, kids? If I move on now, I hope you've got down the key points that you need. Why did Jesus pray? Jesus wanted relationship with God. It happened when he prayed. He was talking one-on-one with his heavenly Father. You will see that this time with God was very intimate. It was personal. And on many occasions, Jesus spent time alone, away from people, so he would not be distracted with his time with God. Time was not so easy to come by. And Jesus' life was very full, no different to you and me. Yet Jesus recognized that he needed and he wanted quality time with God, to maintain the relationship he had with his father. Last week, Andy shared with us some precious thoughts on rest found in Matthew 11:28. And my study in prayer actually took me to Matthew 11 and verse 27. And we see in that preceding verse the incredible relationship that Jesus had with his heavenly Father. And it says in verse 27, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." We see the Godhead here working together. And then it goes on to what Andy shared last week. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, my prayer for you is if you heard this message last week, you have put it into practice this week. You will get rest when you spend time with Jesus. And today's message flows on from what we heard last week. And if you missed it, check it out on YouTube or on the RCC webpage. Another reason Jesus prayed was to determine the will of God in order that he might accomplish God's purpose in every way and remain obedient. That's why the elders have called for a month of prayer. We want everyone in their relationship with God to know what is the will of God for them as individuals and for us as a church. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where our reading came from today in Luke 22, thanks Barbara for doing that, Jesus is asking for God's will to be done. As a result of the times he spent in prayer, Jesus had the assurance in all of life's crises, God's will would prevail. Those words were, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Let's look at what time of the day did Jesus pray. Looking at Jesus' life, we can see him rising up while it is still dark in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. He left the house and he went out to a solitary place where he prayed. And on his travels through the day, Jesus paused to pray. And one such time was before he fed the 5,000. He gave thanks for lunch that they would eat, and you can read that in Matthew 14, 19. Jesus went to the mountainside and he spent all night in prayer. And then he chose the 12 disciples. Luke 6, 12 to 13. We don't know what he said, and it takes just one verse to tell us that he spent all night in prayer. He was about to make a very important decision, and he needed that special time with his heavenly Father. So we can see just in those three readings that you can pray 24/7. It needs to be, though, a very deliberate act when you take the time to build relationship with your heavenly Father. I was thinking about that when my grandchildren rang me this week. I stopped what I was doing as I needed to listen very carefully to know what the little ones are saying. They like to tell me all about their day and what they have done. And as I listen, I learn more about them and how I need to respond. I do that because I want relationship with them. I love them and I want them to know that. I did not ask them to call. They just did it. There was a little argument while we were on the phone. It was not my end, but at the other end, they were having a big discussion as to who was going to hold the phone. That was very important. I steered them through that as I listened to tell them that they needed to share the phone. Nanny was listening to them. They would all get a turn. And this so reminded me of how much God longs to hear me talk to him. Not because I have to, but because I want to. And I know that when I do, I am by far the richer for the experience. You know, some people think that there is only one position to be in when you pray. We see in the Bible that people were sitting, standing, kneeling, face to the ground, hands raised high when they prayed. I think that it is our mind and our heart position that is of far more importance than the position that our body is in. Yes, you can pray on the run, and if a bull is chasing you, it's most appropriate. But when you think that prayer is building relationship with God and wanting to know his will, then you need to have a clear mind and an open heart as you come to God in prayer and to talk and to listen to him. You might find it really helpful to have a notebook with you when you pray, to write down the thoughts that the Holy Spirit speaks to you when you pray. And yes, prayer is definitely a two-way chat. Just like me talking to the grandchildren, if I did not answer, I could hear them saying, "Nanny, are you still there?" And when you talk to God, he will be speaking to you as you pray. It might be a name that comes to your mind. Well, write it down so that you can follow them up with a phone call or a text or whatever you can do in lockdown. It might be a Bible verse you have read that pricks you. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's so powerful when the Spirit speaks like that. It might be a song that comes to your mind that will bless you. Write it down so you can go and look it up and allow God's word to lead you further. You know, a clear mind will come when you clear out what is troubling us. And when we put ourselves in a quiet place where we will not be distracted. An open heart will follow as you allow God to speak to you in a personal way. Well, in what circumstances of life did Jesus pray? At his baptism, Jesus looked to heaven and he prayed. And then there were audible, heard words from God. In Luke 3:21, we read, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Wow. That must so have encouraged Jesus as he began his ministry. And we all need words of affirmation to keep going. When Jesus needed to make major decisions, he spent the whole night praying, Luke 6:12. Are you facing big changes in your life? Big decisions that you need to make? Then take time to pray, to hear God's voice to you. Use the notebook when you believe God is leading you, and you can go back and add when other confirmations come. You'll need that as you press on and make those decisions. Before feeding the 5,000, Jesus looked again to heaven and then prayed. Mark 6:41. Jesus had five small rolls and two fish. It was just a boy's lunch, and he fed 5,000 plus people. It was a miracle. What do we have in our hands today? It may be very little, but we are asking God to work a miracle in our lives and in our church. When children came to Jesus, he placed his hands upon them and he prayed over them. Matthew 19:13. This is an area of prayer that is very precious to me. As I chat with people and hear their stories, I will often say in the conversation with them, "Can I pray a blessing over you?" Some of the people do not personally know God, but they have just shared their story with me and they know I care. And from this point, I find that many of them say, "Yes, you can pray." And I do say a small prayer of blessing for their time of need. And always in that prayer, I remind them that God loves them. I see this as a real link and opportunity in drawing people to Jesus. When Jesus knew that his life was about to end, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his 12 disciples, and he prayed for you and me, for all believers. What a prayer that is in John chapter 17. It's a whole chapter of prayer. It's a great thing to read and to get a heart for the way that Jesus prayed. When Jesus felt so overwhelmed with what was before him, he prayed all night in a garden and he sweat drops of blood. The intensity was so great. And that's what we read in our reading today, Luke 22. And in Matthew 26, which is the parallel passage for that, it tells us that three times he prayed much the same prayer. You know, it's okay to repeat a prayer that is close to your heart. It's not that God is not listening the first time when you prayed it. But when something burdens you, keep talking to God about it. And we see from Jesus' prayers that that is okay to do. On the cross, the Gospels record that Jesus prayed three times. It could have been many more, but at least three of them are recorded. The first prayer is Jesus thinking of others. When he says in Luke 22:34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He was praying for those who were crucifying him. And the second prayer is from when Jesus felt that he was forsaken by God. And he called out to God with a heartfelt plea, Mark 15:34. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And his final words on that cross was when Jesus prayed as he committed his life into God's hands, Luke 23:46, and then he breathes his last. How special for us as we look at prayer this morning to know that Jesus' final words were speaking to his heavenly Father. There are more examples of Jesus praying. And my prayer is that this will show you that you can pray about anything and everything. How did God answer Jesus' prayers when you look at his life? Well, sometimes a miracle took place and the people watching also had their faith increased. And sometimes you see Jesus being strengthened in his spirit to press on with what he knew God was calling him to do. That surely happened in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified. When Jesus left that garden, he was mentally prepared for the cross. An angel had come and had strengthened him. I love the Psalms. I've just read through them. And the psalmist cries out to God from the depths of his heart over and over again, telling God just how bad life has been for him. And as he prays, often in a psalm, there is a "but God" moment when his thinking moves from himself to God. And he sees life a little differently, and there is hope. The Psalms reveal to us that life is raw at times, and we can express that to God. Psalm 139 tells us that God knows when we sit and when we stand, and he perceives our thoughts from afar. Nothing that you want to tell God will catch him out. God is well aware of all your needs and situations. Someone said to me this week, "We prayed, we asked God to lead, and life has not gone as we planned." Have you ever had that experience? I surely have. There are times when we feel God has abandoned us. He was not listening at all when we called out to him. Remember back to our Bible reading at the start of the session. Jesus prayed for God to allow an easier path. But Jesus knew, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26. Why do we have experienced so much pain and loss? I don't know why. There are no simple answers for the loss, the pain, and the disappointments that we feel at times. When I was away in Queensland last month, praying over issues that caused pain, God encouraged me that he was at work, and in that I need to have hope. Not in what I experienced, but in what he was doing. God used the Bible to speak to me in a very fresh way. My problems did not go away, but my attitude and responses to them changed. This is what prayer does to us. When we focus on our relationship with God and who he is, and we know that he is in control, and we pray, "Your will be done," then it will be, and we will be all the richer for it. I was thinking of that quote in the Kids Spot video when it spoke of Jehoshaphat, David, Hannah, and Samuel, who each prayed and what the outcome was. They all wanted what God wanted more than what they wanted. It sums it up, doesn't it? They all wanted what God wanted more than what they wanted. That is a challenge to me. Jesus not only prayed privately, but he prayed with his disciples. Luke 9:28. Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him up to the mountain to pray, and what an experience they had. You know, the early church knew the power of praying together. I just love the story of when Peter was locked up in jail and they thought he was going to be killed. The Christians met together to pray because this was a dire situation. And God did an amazing miracle and freed Peter. You can check that out in Acts chapter 12, the miraculous escape that he had. But I want to read to you this morning what happened to the people who had been praying. And I'm going to read to you from Acts 12 and pick it up from verse 11. Then Peter came to himself and he said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. And when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying." Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be an angel." See, they thought he was dead. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. How exciting is this story in the Bible? The disciples who were praying lacked the faith. But when they prayed, God did the miracle. It was a living testimony of God at work. Our faith might be so small this morning, but as we pray for our church, we realize that there is a great power to be released as the Holy Spirit leads us. How did the early church know how to pray? Well, Luke 11 tells us that when Jesus had finished praying one day, one of the disciples who is nameless said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus then gave them what we call today the Lord's Prayer. Now, that's another message for another day. In this past week, I have spoken with a number of people and prayed with many of them. I do not wave a magic wand to fix the issues that concern them. But I do know that when we pray together, for many of them, the burden is lighter because it is a shared burden. And they know there is a power in prayer. And I know this personally because this week, quite a few people have contacted me and have prayed for me. How precious is that? I know what that means to you when someone personally does that. Whether it's a written prayer, whether it's done over the phone, whatever way it's done, it's such a reassurance and there is a blessing. If you have needs, then email the church. The address will come up at the end of the service and ask for prayer. And this is what being a church family is all about. We do not need to walk the road alone. I know we're in lockdown and we cannot have visits like we might like, but we can talk on the phone. We can sense being together. And one day soon we will be back here at church. And my, how we look forward to that, doing life together and sharing together. And hearing the stories about what God has been saying to you as you pray. Bless you, each one, as you pray privately this month, as you build relationships with God, and as you know His direction and purpose and calling on your life. I look forward to seeing you on Monday or Thursday night as we pray together. Let's pray now. And as I pray, I'm going to make this a very personal prayer, just brief. And if it's your prayer too, you give a nice affirming amen at the end as I close. Heavenly Father, thank you that you long for relationship with me and all who call you Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, lead me deeper into prayer and reading God's word so I can do your will. And Jesus, show me more about how you lived and how I can live in your name. And this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour. Amen. We're going to have a song now that will prepare our hearts as we come into communion. Bless you.